We are blessed to have our speaker today, Tim English. Tim is a pastor in Wichita, although I asked him how I should address him, and he said that he doesn't believe in titles and just as a servant of Christ. And so I gave him his honorary Quaker card automatically. And so he is the pastor of the local church in Wichita, a church that seeks to be the prophetic word that that churches should be in unity, that the body of Christ should be in unity. And he is the church where he serves and leads is also the church that Rich came out of before he came to serve us, and still go and attend and worship. And so we join me in a word of prayer for him. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I just ask your blessing on our speaker. May we be open to receive what you have to say to us through your holy word and through your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Pastor Tim English.
That work?
There we go.
I can hear. I was driving down Highway 54 and just pulled off into Haviland and came over to the campus here. And school wasn't in session, so I just parked and prayed for you and for the faculty, the students, and for this college. And then didn't think about it that much more for a number of years. And by the Lord's sovereign arrangement, here we are. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we are here to hear you speak this morning. We take your precious cleansing blood, wash us, cover us, and open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things out of your word. Shame your enemy. We bind him, and we ask you to glorify yourself this morning. I wanted to share some verses this morning that are some of the wettest verses in the Bible. If you'll turn to Ezekiel 47, the first 12 verses. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the house, and there was water flowing out from under the threshold of the house to the east, for the house faced east. And the water flowed down before the south side of the house on the south of the altar. And he brought me out by way of the north gate, and he led me around on the way outside of the outer gate, on the way to the gate that faces east. And there the water was running out on the south side. When the man went out of the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water that was to the ankles. Then he measured me 1,000 cubits and led me through the water, water that was to the knees. Then he measured 1,000 cubits and led me through the water, water that was to the loins. Then he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in. A river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" And then he led me and brought me back along the back bank of the river. And when I returned, there were very many trees on the bank of the river, on one side and on the other. And he said to me, "This water flows out toward the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah and goes to the sea. When it flows into the sea, the water of the sea is healed. And every creature that swarms in every place where the river goes shall live. And there will be very many fish when this water comes there. And the water of the sea shall be healed. And everything shall live wherever the river comes. And fishermen will stand beside the sea from Engedi to Eglaim, an Old Testament word. It will be a place for the swarming, for the spreading of nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swarms and its marshes, but its swamps and its marshes will not be healed. Its swamps and its marshes will not be healed. They shall be left for salt. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. And they will bring forth new fruit every month, because the water from them flows out of the sanctuary. And their fruit shall be for food, and their leaves for healing." Do you understand all that? You do? Good. There are some verses in Revelation I would like to read that are parallel to the verses in Ezekiel. You know, Ezekiel and Revelation are parallel books, both written by people who were Babylonian captives. Ezekiel was a captive to the Old Testament Babylon, Iraq. And John was a captive to the New Testament Babylon, which is Rome. And they both start with a vision of the throne of God. They both have the rebirth of Israel, a war of Armageddon, and they both end with the city of God, with a river. And so Revelation 22, the first two verses says, "And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And on this side and on that side of the river was the tree of life, producing 12 fruits, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." So here's the vision. Now, do you see the river? What is the river that proceeds out of the throne of God? Well, this river is nothing less than God himself, the river of the water of life. Because God is not a static God. He is a dynamic God. He is a God proceeding. He proceeds through incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and outpouring. And he proceeded to Berkeley College. This is Kansas of Berkeley, I guess. And he's flowing through you, and he's flowing to somebody else. Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." So you have to realize there's a river in this room right now, flowing through this room, flowing through all of us, right? And this river proceeds out of the throne of God, which means you have to be in the right position to experience and enjoy this river. And that position is under God's authority. When we're under his authority, we can enjoy him. And the first thing he proceeded through was incarnation. There's a wonderful verse in Micah 5:2. I think we all know this verse. "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, so little so little to be among the thousands of Judah. From you there will come forth to me he who is to be ruler of Israel. And his goings forth are from ancient times, from the days of eternity. So the eternal God was incarnated into a small town. Oh, little Bethlehem. John Denver had a song. Maybe you're too young. Thank God I'm a country boy. He's just a small town kid, just like some of us, right? He could have come with some pomp and circumstance, but he liked to come as just a small town kid. And he lived a perfect human life. And right after the water flows out in Ezekiel, it comes to the altar. It flows out towards the east, which means it's for God's glory. And after incarnation, there's crucifixion. You know, Charles Wesley has a hymn. He said, he left his father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. So something happened on the cross. His side was pierced and outflowed blood and water. The rock was smitten and the living water came forth to save God's people, right? And it came forth on the right side of the altar. That the south side, literally in the Hebrew, is the right side, which means the side of preeminence. He has the preeminence in all things. And so now he's gone through the process. Now we enter into the process. So at this point, he sees a man, the man, it says here. You first see this man in chapter 40. He looks like bronze. You know, God looks like electrum at the beginning of Ezekiel, but now this man looks like bronze, which means God's judgment. And he has a line in his hand. That means he's judging to possess, like an appraiser or a surveyor. He's measuring us. He's measuring you, and he's measuring me, and he's measuring our days, and he's measuring every situation. Do you sense his measuring? Do we measure up? Well, no, we don't. So here's our problem. Here's what we have to see this morning, how to deal with God's measuring, how to deal with his dealing. First thing, he always measures something complete. 10 times 10 times 10. That's 1,000 cubits. And he took him through. He took Ezekiel through. He'll take you through, right? The problem is we forget he took me through. And so at 800 cubits, we say, okay, we can't go any further. We have to stop right here. We'll do the other 200 tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow he measures me 1,000. And we go, well, we already did 800. And he goes, yeah, but you didn't let me carry you through. If you let me carry you through, you will get through every situation. I have a law of supply and demand. I never demand anything that I don't supply. So he will carry us through if we let him. And it will be water up to our ankles. Okay, what does that mean? Well, have you ever walked in water up to your ankles? You can't skip so easily. You're slowed down a little bit. And then when it's water up to your knees, it's time to pray. And then when it's water up to your loins, well, you about have to stop if there's a current. It's difficult to keep walking. You know, we think that the Christian life, we should be freer and freer, right? Actually, it doesn't work that way. As we go on as a Christian, we get more and more limited. The narrow way becomes more narrow. What you could do as a baby Christian, not today. So we get limited. We get restricted. And eventually we have the experience that Jacob had when he wrestled with the Lord all night long. And he limped for the rest of his life because the hollow of his thigh was touched. And he was not the same. You know, there's a song, "He Touched Me." It's kind of about healing, I think, and about having your heart opened up to the Lord. But there's another touch where he will cripple you. Your natural capability will be broken. the outer man will be broken for the release of the spirit. And this experience is vital. You have to have this wrestling all night with the Lord experience so that you can have another 1,000 measured and you can get in over your head. If you're not in over your head, you're not in deep enough. This one, he couldn't cross. This is a river that couldn't be crossed. This is what Jesse Penn Lewis talked about in Spiritual Torrents. You lose your orientation. You lose what's up and what's down. Even what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong. It becomes very confusing for a moment. And you realize you're not walking anymore. You're swimming. You're letting the river do the work. Paul said, I labored more than you all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. When you learn how to labor, when we learn how to serve by the Spirit, in the Spirit, in the grace of God, then everything is spontaneous, easy, enjoyable, and we become a full participant in the river. And wherever the river goes, there's fish. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. He said there were fishermen, and there were all kind of fish. It went down to the Arabah, that's the Jordan Plain, down to the Dead Sea, and sometimes called the Sea of Sodom, or the Lake Asphaltic. You know, it's a stinky place, and it's called the world. We know it as the world, and it's full of death. It stinks because it's full of death. Nothing can live in this world. But where this stream comes, wherever we go with this stream, with this river, there is a river which makes glad the city of God, says in Psalm 46. And this river goes, and people are glad. People are glad because they're thirsty. And this river will bring life wherever it goes. It will heal the death waters. But it won't heal the swamps and the marshes. You know what that is? The swamps and the marshes are neither wet nor dry, neither hot nor cold. They're lukewarm, they're compromise. If you compromise with the world, this is an incurable condition. You know, the heart of man is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah said, and desperately wicked. In the Hebrew, it's is incurable. Who can know it? You can psychoanalyze, but you can't really figure it out. It's a tragic thing. If you're in the quagmire of compromise with the world, you're like Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife? What happened to her? He said, leave that for the salt. It will become salt, become useless to the Lord, a pillar of salt. So the question this morning, I'm sure none of you are ever in a quagmire. You never have compromised with the world. You never are sick about your failure and your weakness. And you never have entered into self-pity, and which is just another form of self-love. Poor little me syndrome, poor little old me. Pobrecito, you know, it's very tragic. How can you get out? Would somebody come and take care of me? Why didn't anybody come visit me and help me? Well, you're helpless. There's no hope for you. You're hopeless. The only thing you can do is get out of Dodge. No, if you're from Dodge, I'm not disparaging Dodge, but you got to get out of there. You got to be extricated. You got to be rescued. How do you get rescued from the self? What can the self do to get itself free? Well, take up the cross daily and deny the self. Well, okay, but how does that work? How do you do that? How do you get out of yourself? How do you take the cross? How do you crucify the passions and lusts of the flesh? How do you do this? Well, let's make it real practical. Don't you like practical? Something that we can get a handle on? Okay, I'll give you three things you can do to get out of the quagmire. Number one, vertical fellowship. Hebrews 12. Look away from everything unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Right? Take time to behold him. Just spend some time with him. Just enjoy him and forget about your pitiful self. And then have some horizontal fellowship. with the body. And then go find somebody else that's in a worse situation than you and minister to them, encourage them, pray for them, talk with them, take them out for a meal. And then at the end of the day, you can tell your pitiful self, now what was it that you wanted to talk about? And your flesh will just say, your self will just say, your soul life will just say, well, just forget about it. I'll see you in the morning. Okay. We just take one day at a time, right? Okay. You don't know where this river will take you. One day I was smuggling Bibles in 1981 into Red China. Another time, I think it was 99, I was sailing down the Amazon River in a boat called the Casa de Luz, the House of Light. And you just don't know. You may think that you have an idea of your future and you're going to walk this walk, right? Well, one day the river will carry you away and you will find yourself on a much better adventure than you could have imagined. There's a verse at the end of Ezekiel talking about this city. It says, from this time on, the name of the city shall be called Jehovah is there. Jehovah is where? He's everywhere. He's everywhere the river goes. He is the river itself. He's the source of the river, the throne. He's the sap in the tree of life. You know what the tree of life is? You. Christ. You are the Christ. You're the body of Christ. As the body has many members, yet all the members are one body, so also is the Christ. So he said, I am the true vine, you're the branches. So the sap that's flowing through him, the spirit that's flowing in him is the very spirit that's flowing in us. And this is the very, you know, he said, I have ordained you to go and bring forth fruit. The juice in the fruit is the same water that's the sap in you, which is the same water, which is the triune God flowing out to reach man. So the name of the city is, what can we call it? Jehovah is there. Call it River City, I guess. He's everywhere. He's our enjoyment. We can participate in the triune God. We can drink the triune God. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 13, it says, we have all been baptized in one spirit, right? And we have been positioned to drink of that same spirit. The best place to drink is in the middle of the river. When you're swimming, and remember, this water is clear as crystal. You can drink this water. So David in Psalm 116 says, what shall I give to the Lord for all he's done for me? He said, I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. When we call Lord Jesus, when we say, Lord Jesus, I love you, we get a big drink of the Spirit. And then the leaves of the tree of life are for the healing. You realize wherever we go, we don't even have to say anything. You have to be a little careful. We do have to say something, right? But sometimes we don't say anything, and we still heal our environment. The famous misquote, Francis probably never said this, but always preach the gospel, use words if necessary. Our living has an effect on the world. When the lights went out in New York, all the bugs came out, all the criminals came out, all kind of terrible things came out. And when the restrainer is taken from the earth, the Antichrist will appear. Right now, our praying, our living is a healing effect on our environment, on this earth. So just keep drinking, keep enjoying, and get saturated with our wonderful Christ. He will be everything to you. He will supply you. He will take you through every situation, and he will be your moment by